Happy Pentecost, everyone. There's no like formal greeting, but Happy Pentecost works. The highest feast and what from everything flows in the church is the Easter Triduum. The highest celebration the church has. The second are two things, and both of them point toward the Easter Triduum, and the Easter Triduum points toward this next thing. The second highest celebrations are first Christmas, in which we celebrate God taking on our flesh, the body of Christ, God taking on our own flesh in our midst. And this happened how? Because the Holy Spirit came down upon Mary, and God took on flesh. The second feast that we celebrate today is this feast of Pentecost, which this is the birthday of Jesus. This is the birthday of the church, the body of Christ. God came and took flesh in our world through Christmas. He comes and he takes flesh in the world now after he ascended to the heaven. How? By the sending of the Holy Spirit, which came down not just upon Mary, but now upon the apostles, who from them we received the Holy Spirit in baptism, in confession, in confirmation, and that Jesus has flesh in this world through the birthday of the church and through you and me in the church. It's really cool, isn't it? And so the highest feast, the Easter Triduum, Christmas, and today's feast, Pentecost, they are the second highest in the entire church. And there are three things in Pentecost I want to point to. There's many, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we receive, right, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, all these things, but there's three I want to point to that come from the Holy Spirit and that you receive, the church receives. And there are three things which Jesus has. He tells us in the gospel that the Father will take what he has, what Jesus has, and through the Holy Spirit, he will give it to us. We receive it through the Holy Spirit. These are three things that Jesus has. The first, which those apostles received at the morning of Pentecost, is courage. For 40 days, even after they had seen the resurrected Lord, they had touched him, they ate with him, they were still filled with fear. They were gripped with fear and they were paralyzed by fear. They went back to the upper room where they celebrated the Last Supper and they locked the doors because they were afraid still. What changed? When the Holy Spirit came through a strong driving wind, like the one we got today, it's great for Pentecost. It was a strong driving wind and it came down in the tongues of fire. And what did they do? After receiving the Holy Spirit, they had the courage of Jesus. And they went out and they preached to the very same people they were just afraid of. They were afraid these people were going to kill them, and now they went and preached to them, and they converted them. Courage. It's on our floor, actually. The lion, another word for courage, fortitude. The strength of a lion. And why do we have courage? Because it's Jesus' courage, because we have God. We go out into the world, and we have nothing to fear of the world. Why? Because we have what the world desperately needs and what it is wanting, which is God. The world needs God. It wants God. And we have that. And so we have nothing to fear because he's with us, and that's what we bring out to the world. And so the first, courage, which dispels all fear. The second is humility, which is the opposite of pride. Humility, in that the apostles, when the Holy Spirit came down upon them, they were sent out now to all the corners of the earth. And they were guided and they were swept along. Why? By the Holy Spirit. Which this is the thing that casts out pride from our hearts. Because pride is me looking at my life and my plans, and my everything, and me holding tightly to that. It's a pride. this is mine. What humility does is it says, yeah, I've got my life, yeah, I've got my plans, but what I desire above all of that is for God to have his way in me. What I desire above all of that is God's will to be done through me. And so I turn and I say, God, your will be done. And then the Holy Spirit, which sometimes moves like a driving wind, but oftentimes like a small little whisper, a nudge. We have our free will, but God and his Holy Spirit is always nudging us and sometimes shoving us. But even when he shoves us sometimes, we're clinging on so tight to my plan, my life, what I want in my pride. It's like a rock which I'm clinging on to, which is plummeting me from the sky down to the earth in destruction. But what humility does is the wind of the Holy Spirit and the breeze of the Holy Spirit is to take me and it moves me to where God wants me and where fruit is able to happen. A family friend, he died this week in Bismarck, and they've been a family friend for years. And his wife is an author, and she wrote about their conversion as a couple. They got married, and they were, she said, nominally Catholic. You know, they did some Catholic things occasionally here and there, but their faith wasn't really an important part of their life. But she said, here's what changed. They were living out in Montana, and they would turn to God and say, God, oh, we really need this, or could you really help this happen? They would turn to God in prayer, but it was always about, God, could you make this happen? Which isn't the worst prayer, but it's missing something. She said what changed for them and where God really began able to work in their hearts and in their lives is when they turned in prayer to God and said, God, what do you want? God, what's your will here? And God began to act because now he was able to act. And his Spirit blew them across the Rocky Mountains to the last place they thought they'd ever be, the prairies of North Dakota, which is where they spent the rest of their life and where their faith really began to open up. But it was letting go of clinging on in pride to my life, everything, and in humility saying, God, what do you want? And the final thing is joy. Joy is the infallible presence of the Spirit of God. And joy, everyone, is not the same thing as pleasure. Those are two different things. There are things which are pleasurable, and they're fine as long as they're not disordered. So what are a couple things I really get pleasure out of? Let me paint a perfect little October afternoon. Sunday afternoon, I sit out on my little patio, and it's like 70 degrees, sun, little breeze, watching a football game, my team's winning, and I got a beer that's nice, ice cold, and pizza. That's great. And that'll give me pleasure, which is fine. That's good. But pleasure isn't joy. Those are two different things, because joy is a spiritual thing. It comes from the Spirit. All of those are physical pleasures, or the enjoyment of play, watching play, game. Joy is something that's in the soul. And so a person can fill their life with pleasure as a way of bearing misery, or like as a way of trying to substitute joy. But joy is something we can only receive from God. And joy is the presence of God within us, within our soul. Where even you can be like St. Paul in a prison where you're cold and you have nothing to eat and you've been beaten and you can still have joy even if there's no pleasure. That's God, and that's what he wants us to live with. Those are just a few of the things that the Holy Spirit gives, and they're all the things of Jesus that he gives to us so that we're able to be his body on this earth, the church, his hands, his feet, to go and proclaim the good news that he has conquered death and he is alive. Pray now for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon you and your loved ones. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, enlighten the hearts of your faithful, enkindle within them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you will renew the face of the earth. Amen.